Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. We are here with a great friend of ours. His name is Irvin Harris. Irvin is a previous customer of mine. I say previous because we used to work together when he was working a home-based business, and that's how we kind of became friends. And they were building a home-based business, and we did a lot of radio shows with him and his wonderful wife, Candy, and Jacqueline, specifically. So we did those. You can hear those previous radio shows if you want to, so you can hear how great they are. And then, just like everything else in life, sometimes people move in different directions, and Irvin was doing his thing, I'm doing my thing. I've been keeping in touch with him, and we'd always have really long, great conversations, everything from what's going on with the world, politics, what's going on with ourselves, what's going on with health, and things along that line. And I said, you know, I really want to have these conversations where other people can hear them because they're such great educational lessons. And Irvin is a basketball coach. He's been a coach of football as well. He's overall just a really super good guy. He's great with the family. And they live life like they live life. And I just said, you know, we want to talk about these kinds of issues because there's a lot of people that need this positive influence in whatever they might be going through. And as a basketball coach, you deal with developing young men, and the lessons that you learn and you can teach them might be important. And also we could use this platform to maybe help them as well. So we started, again, the Irvin Harris Radio Show. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com and you look for the Irvin Harris Radio Show, you'll be able to hear this as well as the previous ones we've done on this segment. But it is always a great pleasure. It's kind of like a great excuse for me to be able to talk to Irvin more frequently. Well, we do a radio show weekly instead of every couple of years or every couple of months or something like that. So I really enjoy this stuff. Plus, I'll have to share with you, he always shares some really great information with me that I share with other people as well. So it is a blessing to be able to have this radio show with a great friend of ours. Again, his name is Irvin, I-R-V-I-N, Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S. No relation to the next president. I'm going to say that
to
Noah.
No.
So we are here talking about whatever we're going to talk about today. So Irvin, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Peter, thank you very much for having me here. And when I said no, I don't want anyone to be offended out there. Harris happens to be a decent last name, and I've been very, very proud for many years to have that name, the surname, which was passed down from my father. And, you have to always honor your mother and your father. And, you know, because my last name is Harris, I'm definitely going to honor that, and I appreciate having that. And, you know, no offense if any other people out there in the world that happen to carry that last surname, as there are so many, many, many other people out there. And I'm sure that each and everybody in their own way, shape, or form, they mean well in the job that they're doing and the things that they are bringing to the people that support them, because belief is a strong thing. And there are some things that people may believe in, Peter, that other people may not believe in. But one thing that we can do, and I talked about that in the last show, is about, you know, us caring about one another and being brothers and sisters, and is in the sense of providing that support to people. And it's one of the reasons why I really have embraced coaching, working with young people and helping them to understand those things that are very important. It's nice to be able to be part of building a foundation, and that foundation must be strong, and through leadership, those are the types of things that leaders stand on, that they would enforce, you know, foundation. You know, there's not too many houses that will stand on shaky ground. And if that ground starts to shake, or if there's things that occur, I mean, I was in California back in the late 80s, and it was my first time experiencing an earthquake. When that ground starts moving, boy,
that's
does it make you feel, yeah, it makes you feel like you're nothing. And that's some adversity that you're experiencing at that time, because it's the first time going through those feelings or that experience. It makes you, it was weird. It was really weird to me. I was not used to that. And, you know, we never know what tomorrow holds. We never know what we're going to face tomorrow. But one thing that we can do is we can work towards doing all those right things that we should be doing and not looking to harm anyone else and pray that we're not harmed. But other than that, Peter, I mean, my name is Irvin Harrison, as you said in the introduction. I'm a head men's basketball coach, and boy, is there a lot of work to do, Peter, when it has to deal with developing and working with young adults.
Right. Well, I can't help but notice, we're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about here, but we are experiencing Florida, our second hurricane. We just had Hurricane Helene happen after our previous radio show, and that's the one that kind of took out a pretty big portion of a couple of different states, and we can get into the political portions of Helene. But then we're experiencing maybe Milton come through, and we're north of Daytona Beach and south of Jacksonville, so we're on the other side of the hurricane. These things get so big, though, a small peninsula like Florida doesn't really mean anything. It's really kind of narrow, relatively speaking, to these hurricanes. So we'll see what's going to happen. But the one thing that I will mention about teamwork and everything else like that is you realize that, you know, when your town that you might be living in is totally devastated, like washed out because of a creek becoming a river, becoming like an amazing thing that just rips out everything as far as Mother Nature is concerned, you really don't care who's pulling you out of the mud. You really don't care who's delivering the water or the medical supplies or whatever. You don't care about their color, their size, their weight, their political persuasion, who they might be voting for, president or whatever, and who cares? The reality is human beings just kind of working together to be able to save each other. And that, I think, happens a lot on the court. You know, when you're in the middle of it, I mean, you're going to win, or you got to fight, and you got to learn those lessons that you'll be able to transform some other way. So there's a lot of things that happen. A lot of great people become great leaders from a lot of the things that they learn by being on the court. So I'll let you play off that if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, life brings all types of challenges. Even when starting off as a head coach or taking over a program, or even dialoguing back and forth a player or maybe even one of their family members, parents, and you know, there's so many experiences that you go through when you are a leader. I mean, you're working with young adults' lives, and the intention that you have should always be very, very positive. You want to make sure that you're not only delivering the right messages to other people, you want to make sure that you're helping to develop that individual, to set the example, to help them to be able to overcome any adversities that they may be experiencing. Some of them don't really even know that an adversity is right in front of them because they do not have the experience that, you know, we have. I mean, you mentioned last week about, you know, we started talking again how we had color, and then the color changed, you know, from a darker color to gray. Well, when we move through life and we have all those different experiences, whether they're adverse, there are some good ones that we have. But as long as we're in a position to be able to help others from our background and from our experience, but also to be able to stand and maintain your integrity while working towards helping those that you're working with to deal with a situation or a change. You know, just a few years ago, I took over a college basketball team from a legendary coach who had built a pretty strong foundation. I was blessed enough to work with him for, you know, close to a decade to help that process to maintain or stay strong. And I was the assistant. So, you know, transitioning from being an assistant coach to the head coach meant stepping into some big shoes, especially when you're taking over for a legend. And from that experience, I realized that respect had to be earned from the returning players, although I was involved in recruiting those returning players. You know, Peter, when you're an assistant, and even though you're involved in the day-to-day making sure that that foundation stays strong, they don't look at you as a head coach. You're the assistant. And it's not really the easiest situation to step into. I don't really care how much experience you have. I mean, there's coaches that move from school to school, and they'll start in one school and they'll go to a new school where the head coach is left and you have returning players that are already there. You're coming in with a whole brand new philosophy, and those players that are on that previous team, they're not used to that. And that is no different in the real world when you take over a job or a position. You're leaving from one job and you're going to the new job. And I know that, you know, you may have the background and experience, but can you imagine what it's like to take over a job as a head coach, a director, or maybe even going from the college ranks to the professional ranks? You know, those are things that do happen. I mean, let me ask you this question, Peter. You know, from a business standpoint, how do you feel about the ability of a leader to be successful in taking over a job or a position when they move from one company to another company in the business world? I mean, I would liken that to a coach or a director, like going from high school to college or from college to pros. Do you think that would be pretty difficult for a leader to be able to navigate from one level to the next?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that, because they named a whole principle after me related to that. They call it the Peter Principle. So the Peter Principle is actually...
Oh, I got a story about that one, but go ahead.
All right. So for those people that have not heard of the Peter Principle, they didn't name it after me. It was named a long time before that, and I'm not really sure where the origin comes from. But it basically goes like this. A person is promoted to their level of incompetence and then ultimately fails. So I'll explain. So the basketball player becomes the assistant coach, and then the assistant coach, he can be great as an assistant coach, and then all of a sudden he becomes a head coach, and now all of a sudden he fails. So he's promoted to the level of incompetence and then ultimately fails unless he makes the adjustments. I'm just using the pronoun he for those people that are pronoun sensitive. I'm just using the pronoun he because that's the way I learned it. They call it the Peter Principle. So having said that, what that means is like, okay, so the basketball player becomes the assistant manager. I'm sorry, the assistant coach, because he was good at playing basketball, probably scored a lot of points, blocked a lot of things, you know, did whatever was necessary as far as being a basketball player. But then all of a sudden he becomes an assistant, and maybe that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to teach people how to, you know, dribble and pass and shoot and do all those types of things and stand in the way when you're supposed to stand in the way. And he's a darn good assistant manager. I use assistant manager only because of my sales background. He's a good assistant coach. But then all of a sudden he becomes a head coach. And he takes the same principles that he learned as a basketball player and as an assistant coach and then brings them to where he's at now. And that's a lot different. There's a lot of different skills that need to be developed. So although he was promoted based on performance, he's ultimately going to fail. And it's such a common thing, they named it the Peter Principle. So, yeah, so back to your thing relative to, so what happens when you get promoted? When you get promoted, you probably should be a little bit scared that you should be excited, but you should probably be scared because you don't know what if you're at your level of incompetence that you're being promoted to. So that's why I have to say that. And, we could use lots of examples with that, but that's how I'll answer your question relative to, what's it like when you get promoted and you're moving up? Watch out. what got you there may not keep you there.
Peter, what's pretty interesting?
Nope.
When you and I have these conversations, and we've talked a lot, and you just gave the example of the Peter Principle, in my life and throughout all my experiences, I'm going to go way back to one of my prior experiences. A lot of people laugh when I tell them about my degree in hamburgerology from McDonald's. They laugh. They don't think it's real. They believe I'm making it up. And I worked at McDonald's.
I have to interrupt you. Because when Dr. Charles King taught the University of Illinois certification course on network marketing, guess where we had our certification course?
Where?
McDonald's University, Joy Boulevard, Oak Brook.
Yes.
McDonald's College. That's where I was. So there is a hamburger university. It's true. I taught there.
Well, a lot of people think it's funny, and they don't realize that there is.
They don't get it. No, it's a real thing. It's a real thing.
Having that experience at such a young age was wonderful. But, me, I'm one of nine kids. We'll get into my background and experience. I happen to have been the middle child, and I worked at McDonald's. I worked hard. I worked all through high school and was promoted to manager at McDonald's. I did scheduling. I did sales projections. I did hiring, cost per man per hour. I understood all of that. I had to do projections and scheduling based upon activities that were going on in the area. Creighton University was a block away from the school. And thank God Creighton University was that close to my home, because the neighborhood I grew up in wasn't one of the safest neighborhoods. And I spent a lot of time at Creighton University, and that's where I went. And I would pick up a basketball, and I was on their courts at midnight because they were lighted courts. So I did a lot on that college campus growing up as a teen, a young teen and the older teen. But in my older childhood during my older time as a teenager, I worked at McDonald's, and I wound up getting promoted to manager, and I went to school and was educated, and I have that diploma from the McDonald's school and program. Well, I left McDonald's. I asked for a raise, and the owner, he told me, he said, "You're not like the area supervisor." He said, "You're different." And he literally looked at his watch and tossed me out of his house. And here I helped turn that store around and made the store profitable. Well, obviously, I wasn't happy that, I was making $4.25 an hour. I got time and a half, and I wanted to be making $6.50, which was still under. I should have been asking for more because I was worth more. Well, I had gotten offered a job at Burger King. It was a Greyhound Burger King. So can you imagine working at the Greyhound bus station and how that experience was? Boy, I could tell you some stories out of there, but I'm not going to get into those. The Peter Principle was brought up, and I was 19 years old at the time. It was my first time hearing it. The general manager of Burger King sat me down to talk to me about the Peter Principle, and I'm like looking like, what is this man talking about? Well, when I found out what it was a little bit later, I wasn't happy at all because I performed at a very high level as a leader then. And I wound up leaving there, and that's when I took a job as a district advisor over the North Omaha area in Omaha, Nebraska. The area back during that time period was a circulation of a potential of 60,000 customers. I had adult supervisors working for me as well as adult assistant advisors, and I was responsible for all the revenue and you know, the near north side and all of the carriers, you know, the collection and delivery of the paper. And I went on from that to law enforcement. And, you know, I was involved in coaching back then as a volunteer. And, you know, obviously, of course, a lot of experience in leading and guiding and directing. And, you know, now I'm a basketball coach. But the thing is you talked about people being hired to the level of their incompetence or competence, but either way.
Incompetent.
Geez, well, I'm failing. I don't believe in it. I believe in solutions. And, I mean, there's always been adversity. There's just naturally, you know, adverse situations occurred throughout the years and also throughout the experiences that we have. Now, unlike last week, Peter, where are we at as far as the sponsors? I don't want to upset the sponsors because we went through and we didn't have a break. Are we close to break time?
No, we're okay. We're way past that. Don't worry about it.
Let me go on talking about some adversities. And again, there's several. I mean, there's adversity that's going on right now with the team that I'm coaching, and you know, it appears that from day to day in life, there's always going to be something. I mentioned that I took over for a legendary coach that had built a strong foundation. Well, one thing through that experience, I realized that it's extremely important to have trust as well as earn the trust of those that you are leading or coaching. And my very first year, the season didn't necessarily start off as good as I expected. We had a 1-3 record after the first four games, and typically when a team starts off like that, there's several reasons behind that. You know, even though you have a plan, you go on with it, and you look to implement that plan. Just like now, you know, I have one returning player and a host of new players, and that player happened to been with me from the time that I started, and he's doing such a great job. I mean, I'm really proud of him, and it's the philosophy that he understands. And now, since I have him and I also have a new assistant coach, that leader, he's doing an unbelievable job. And that all comes with, as far as a leader, you have to do the best with what you have. And those are the players that you actually have on your team. And I really feel blessed that this year it appears that I have a group of young men that are not only listening to the leadership of the young player that I developed, they like each other. And although every season is unique, just as every individual is unique within the team, when they are following the leader, which is the role that I have, and they are adhering to the plan and I have another young man who is leading. He's following, but he's leading at the same time. That seems to help the individuals understand their collective roles. And when they do that, I mean, obviously you have to make tweaks along the way. When they understand their roles, that will allow them to perform at their best in hopes of helping them to do the best with what they can with the talent that they have. And in doing so, just by default, that experience is going to help them to get better. Obviously, when we face opponents and we go on with our plan, because I'm a strong believer in you should practice exactly how you're going to play. That's a challenge in dealing with groups that have been molded to this, bring in drills, for example. In drills, they wind up going through the motions, but yet they also feel and think that you're going to be able to prepare for the game by scrimmaging each other. And last week we talked about the definition of insanity, to continually do the same thing over and over again and to expect different results. That's just not going to necessarily pan out, especially if those things that you're doing over and over again are the types of things that lead to a lack of success. And when you're building that foundation for a strong team, and you have to look ahead, but you also have to think about today. And in order to overcome any issues, and again, I mentioned I don't really necessarily like to use the word problems, you have to take that solutions-based approach. Instead of dwelling on those issues, or as other people say, or problems, what I believe in is focusing on what we can do as a team to improve. Now, when I had that experience a few years ago when we started off with that 1-3 record, which is terrible, the mindset of the team, even though, again, there were fractions between the group, somehow the mindset of that team's focus shifted from frustration to determination. And again, this is a day-to-day thing, not knowing what tomorrow will bring. And I always encouraged communication. I was open, and I wanted to allow those players to not only express their feelings and thoughts, but I wanted to open it up to where they could be themselves and that they could play. And again, you're not really going to get total 100% buy-in. I can only imagine if we had of gotten that total 100% buy-in, or if they would have bought in from the beginning, because I had to adjust the plans literally every single day. I can say this year, I mean, we haven't really had any tests yet, but man, we're only 2 weeks and a day into practice, and there's already been adversity with this group. But yet, you know, my assistant came to me today and he said, "Wow, coach, I see what you're doing." He says, "I'm really happy to be here to see this, to see the progress and how you are showing them you know, the simple things just on how to run, you know, responsibilities on how to run and how to play." And he says, "Man, they're really, really learning." And back to that initial year when we started 1-3, you know, we went on a 12-game winning streak after starting 1-3.
Wow.
And we faced a lot of adversity. And during that time period, I mean, there was an injury to a player, a starter, and there was another player during that time period. We went on that 12-game winning streak that I had to I had to discipline the player, and it missed a few games. And that was during the season. Well, that streak ended after 12 on the 13th game. You know, 13, I guess, is not really that great of a number. It was bad luck. I mean, we still wound up having a wonderful season, and we made it to the Nationals. We should have won the conference championship tournament. We didn't, because I had to suspend another player 30 minutes before the game. Now, again, that was a rocky season, but it ended well. And that player was the captain at that time, not the captain now, but the captain then. And another player on the team, I sent him home 30 minutes before the game started. And it's interesting how you have to make these tough decisions. And you have to think about the overall goals that you're looking to achieve. It's about building and developing these young men and helping them to be, to grow and to learn. I mean, there's consequences for each and everything that we do. Winning is great, Peter, but you know what? It's the lessons that are learned that I feel that are real important. I mean, do you think that I wanted to make those tough decisions like that? Trust is the key. Trust is the key. And, you know, the leader that I have this year, I can say that there's definitely a shining light that I can see from his experience. Now, he wasn't a leader then. I identified him and picked him. But, you know, he just came in, and I had to rethink it because there are some special things that I saw in him. And, I mean, he's a young man that's still under development, and I look at him as a shining light. And that experienced player right now is around, and, boy, is he rising to the occasion. You know, right now with the young man that's on his team, when he speaks, they listen. And he's holding himself accountable, and he's inspiring his teammates to do the same. And see, it's that type of leadership that I look at as being invaluable, and that is definitely something that I strive to nurture, not only in every individual player that's on the team, but any individuals that are going to be open to raising themselves to that level. I mean, I'm really proud of that young man and the things that he's doing right now, Peter.
Well, you know, I want to hear more about the specifics without being specific, about some of those hard challenges that you've made, because knowing and making those decisions that you've made could have been made after the game, I suppose, but you decided to make it before the game, and I'd love to hear the thought process and also deal with the ramifications. So doing right, you know, integrity is what? Doing the right thing when you need to do it, regardless of the consequences. So it sounds like you have a great lesson in integrity, even though the consequences might have meant that you might have lost the game because of the decisions that you were in the position to make. So I want to hear more about those things in future radio shows for sure. But guess what? We're out of time. So for all those people listening in, you've been listening to Irvin Harris. This is the Irvin Harris Radio Show. We're talking about basketball and a whole bunch of other stuff, life lessons as well. And Irvin, I'll let you wrap it up.
Time really flies, Peter. And, you know, I'm going to wrap it up with a story that I saw today. And it has something to do with that donkey I talked to you about. I thought it was pretty cool, and this came across, and it's about a farmer that had a donkey that fell into a well. And the farmer walked up to the well, and that donkey was at the bottom, and he was crying loudly for hours. And the farmer wanted to help the donkey get out of there, and he did everything that he could, and he just couldn't think of any way to get him out. So he contacted his neighbors, and they came to help, and they couldn't figure anything out. And that donkey was old, an old donkey. So he came to the conclusion that, well, you know, he is old. So him and his neighbors, they got shovels, and they started just shoveling, tossing dirt in there, and that donkey started hopping around and making all more noise. And while they're tossing the dirt in the well, it got quiet. And they continued on, and they figured that that was the end of that old donkey. Well, right when they got literally finished filling the well up, they heard, you know, some rustling and noise, and all of a sudden that old donkey popped out. And you want to talk about adversity? He climbed out of that well because the dirt that they were throwing in. And you see, the thing is just from that lesson, when it comes to life and when it comes to challenges, one thing that I feel that people need to remember is, number one, experience is something that is extremely important. And we talked about the Peter Principle, and you also talked about people, you know, being able to work up to the level of competence. And if you go too high, you know, one thing I know is right now, if I try to go play alongside of LeBron James, I'll get destroyed. And I'm just going to leave it at that. And I would love to see those people that are given positions rise to the level of success. But nothing beats experience, Peter.
Absolutely. Well, all great lessons. So we're going to catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. We're going to survive this hurricane. So we have Milton that's coming our way, and chances are we're going to have to survive the next hurricane too, because sometimes they come in like they're rolling like bowling balls. They come in, and next weekend we had another one. Who knows what's going on with the weather? But that's kind of like the way it goes in life in general. So you kind of move with the punches, make the adjustments along the way. And I am so happy to be able to have Irvin Harris here on Building Fortunes Radio. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Irvin-Harris Radio Show, you'll be able to hear these radio shows all over again. And I know that we're going to have really great examples. And I learned so much by you being here and some of the examples you share with me, Irvin. So I want to say thanks for being our friend on Building Fortunes Radio, and go out there and kick some butt this basketball season year. And I'm sure we're going to have some of those kids maybe even on here talking about the lessons they're learning too by being under your coaching. So thanks, everybody, and we'll catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. Thanks, Irvin.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.